In the 1960s, there was a lot of political unrest in the world. It was the time during the Vietnam War. There was the sexual revolution that was taking place as well, that was also bringing a lot of upheaval to the norms of society at the time. There was also a spiritual hunger that was taking place in the world, and particularly in the United States, where people were longing for something more. There was a disillusionment in institutions and structures. And it was the hippie movement as well. And I don't know, maybe some of you might have lived through that as well. And it was a movement where people were, just trying to look and seek for authenticity. There was a man by the name of Chuck Smith. He was a pastor of a small church called Calvary Chapel. And as he was praying and desiring and wanting to reach more people with the gospel, his daughter came in touch with a man named Lonnie Frisbee. And part of the hippie movement, part of what was going on, was also called the Jesus movement. It was a ton of young people that were coming to experience and know Jesus Christ. And God used this young man, Lonnie Frisbee, to reach many people and actually start a revival amongst young people coming to know Jesus. And it wasn't a revival that was typical for churches or something that they were used to. And oftentimes when there's a revival in the church, it's going to maybe rub us the wrong way. It's going to maybe push us out of our comfort zone, push us out of what we think. Well, God, I need you to operate within my box and within the way that I want you to operate. And how many know that many times God operates in a different way? And so there was a movement called the Jesus Movement. And Chuck Smith was trying to be sensitive to hear the voice of the Lord. But in his church, he had other voices speaking to him as well. People in his church that were used to the status quo, that were seeing all of these young people that were coming and with long hair and not dressed properly and all of these sort of things, and thinking, like, we can't have these people in our church. They're gonna turn everything upside down. But thankfully for Chuck Smith, he had a heart to reach the lost. He had a heart to open up to others that maybe didn't look like the kind of people that were in his church, because he longed for revival and longed to reach more people with the gospel. And so, but he lived in this tension of, what do I do? He lived in this tension of, these people are coming, I need to keep my doors open for them, but I have this other segment of people that are thinking that, you know, this is not how a church should be run. Thankfully, Chuck Smith's heart was so broad and open and welcoming to everyone that was the beginning of a revival in Calvary Chapel that spread throughout Southern California and spread even throughout all of the United States. It was one of the greatest revivals in history. There were huge baptisms that were happening. A movie was made about it called Jesus Revolution. Anyone has ever seen Jesus Revolution? It's a very moving and touching story, and I want to just show you a clip here of Jesus Revolution. And as you're watching this, think about our topic today is House of Peace, and we're looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan through the eyes of the innkeeper. We're looking at this parable and seeing, how does the innkeeper see this situation? And what is the role of the innkeeper in this parable of the Good Samaritan? So take a look at this clip.
Kids are runaways, most of them. They got drug addictions, medical issues.
And they need our help.
Yeah, but Chuck, I mean, they need to go home. They're making our congregation uncomfortable.
Well, maybe they should be uncomfortable. Maybe we all should. Maybe it's my job to make us uncomfortable. I haven't been doing it.
Chuck, stop. This is enough. This is a house of worship. And yes, we expect a certain level of dignity here. These girls are wearing halter tops, and half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet with their bare feet.
A carpet? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, let's be sure to save the carpet.
You keep this up and you're going to drive away the only contributing members that we've got. You hearing me now?
Loud and clear.
What is going on?
Let's have that foot. Let's have that other foot.
Yeah, why don't you go sit next to that fella in the cantaloupe jacket? Good to see you.
Enjoy. You. Welcome to church. Hello, young lady.
Well, last year, I had the privilege of visiting New York City. I'm not getting a tourist. I paid a visit to the Statue of Liberty, and I read those famous words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. And as I read those words, I thought, well, that's Christianity, isn't it? It's the essence of it. An invitation to the broken. Jesus was very friendly with the outcasts. In Revelation 22, it says, let the one who can hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the waters of life freely.
Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would make Unionville Alliance Church a house of peace, a home where all is welcome to come, a place of prayer, a place of hope, Lord God, where people can come and experience you. And as we see through the light of the story of the Good Samaritan, Lord, I pray that you'd make all of us innkeepers. Make all of us, Lord God, people that show the love and grace of Jesus. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, as we consider that little clip, and I would encourage you to go and watch the whole movie, but if you consider that clip, where are you in that clip? Are you the person in the cantaloupe jacket, wanting to keep the status quo, uncomfortable with all of the things that are happening? Or are we going to be like Pastor Chuck Smith that kneels down and washes the feet of other people? Are we going to be the one that is welcoming to all, to share the love of Jesus, to go the extra mile? In the story of the Good Samaritan, as we've been looking at for the past couple of weeks, we've seen the story through the eyes of the man that was wounded and how he received help from the Samaritan. We see the story through the eyes of the priest and the Levite that we looked at last week, and how it's not about religion, but it is about experiencing Jesus and that overflowing joy. Today, as we look at the story, we're going to look at it through the eyes of the innkeeper and the inn that this man was brought to. And in summary, again, of the story of the Good Samaritan, this man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was beaten up by robbers. The priest came by and didn't help him. The Levite came by and didn't help him. The Samaritan came by, and Jesus used the Samaritan as a person that people thought wouldn't help a Jewish a person there, wouldn't come and interact with that person. But the Samaritan came and helped that man and brought him to an inn and took care of him there. And then while he was there, he helped him, and then he went to the innkeeper and gave him some money and said, take care of this man. I need to go on my trip. When I come back, I'll pay you whatever more you have spent in order to care for him. And so as we think about that innkeeper, if you put yourselves into the shoes of that innkeeper, and you're in this story, and this Samaritan man comes to you and brings this man who's badly beaten and is probably bleeding and in need of medical attention, need of a place of rest, broken. And he stays there for one night. And then in the morning, you're given the charge of this man. And you're asked, please take care of him. And Jesus tells this story. And as we look at the story, we can really see that we, the church, are meant to be that inn. The church is called to be the inn, a house of peace. And we are the innkeepers, right? In Luke 10, verse 34, in the parable, it says, then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The church is meant to be a hospital for sick people. It's not meant to be a luxury resort or a place where people can just come and relax and enjoy and be consumers. No, the church is meant to be an inn, a place where the broken and the hurting and the wounded and the people that are desperate for help can come and find rescue and refuge and hope in Jesus. That's what all of us are called to do. We ourselves are called to be innkeepers in that inn. If you identify as a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus and call yourself a disciple of Jesus, then you are part of that inn and are called to be one of those innkeepers. You and I are meant to show the love and grace of Jesus to all those that come to the inn. The question is, are we able to do that? Particularly if it's for somebody that might not fit the framework or the mold that we think, oh, should come to Unionville Alliance Church. Are we able to be gracious and kind and welcoming to anyone that walks through our doors? Today, as part of Advent Sunday, the theme of Advent, there's four themes in Advent. We looked first at the theme of hope. Last Sunday, we looked at the theme of joy. This Sunday is the theme of peace. Next Sunday is the theme of love. And as we look at the theme of peace, the inn is meant to be a house of peace. All of us love to have a house of peace. For a husband and wife, if you go off to work, when you come back to your home, do you want yelling and screaming at home? Do you want people that are upset at home? Do you want fighting at home? No, you want to be able to come back to your house and be in a place of peace. This is what we would all desire to have in our own homes, right? How much more in the house of God that we should be a place of peace. Some of you are on our Advent Bible reading plan. I think almost 90 of you are reading through our Advent Bible plan. And last Sunday, there was a video that was shown about peace, and I'm going to show it to you in a moment, from the Bible Project. And the definition of peace might surprise you, because sometimes we think peace is just the absence of trials, peace is the absence of problems and difficulties in our lives. And sometimes it can be that, but the Hebrew word for peace and even the Greek word for peace is much deeper than what we might even understand or know. The Hebrew word and the Greek word for peace gives a much greater connotation of not just the absence of trials or the absence of problems, but the idea of restoration. The idea of wholeness, the idea of completeness, so that when we are in peace, we are in a place of completeness, of wholeness. And when we watched the Bible Project videos, those that were part of the Bible reading plan, I thought, why should Daniel try to explain this? The video tells it so much better. The Bible Project has done a great job, and if you never watched any of the Bible Project videos, I would highly encourage you to do so. They do an awesome job of teaching so many different themes, giving overviews of books in the Bible, but take a listen to what it says about peace.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
So peace is taking what is broken and restoring it to wholeness. And so if that inn is a house of peace, or if we are called as a church, Unionville Alliance Church, to be a house of peace, it means that we are to be a house where there is wholeness that happens, restoration, healing, completeness, people going from a place of brokenness and hurt and trouble to a place of restoration and healing. And so as we talk about peace today, I want you to think about it through that lens. There's going to be a few verses that we read here that has the word peace in the verse, and I want you to think of it not as peace as the absence of conflict, but peace as a place of restoration, peace as a place of wholeness and completeness, peace as a place of healing and restoration for all who come to experience Jesus. And so we are called to be peacemakers. What are we called to do? We are called to take the broken and make it complete. How do we do that? Not through our own strength or our own ability, but we do it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, "And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors." Or if I can just contextualize it for what we're studying here in the Good Samaritan story, let's change that line to say, we are Christ's innkeepers. People that are making peace. People that are taking the broken and making them whole. Who do you know during this Christmas season that you might be able to invite into a season of peace because of the gospel of Jesus? Are there people that are broken around you? Are there people that are going through trials and difficulties and hardships? Are there people that are going through sicknesses and financial difficulty or whatever it might be, and their lives are broken? Jesus invites us to be people of peace, to be peacemakers, and to be ambassadors to tell the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that he brings us to a place of wholeness. He brings us to a place of restoration. He brings us to a place of completeness. He brings us to a place of peace. And that's the job of the innkeeper. Friends, can we be that innkeeper? Are we bearers of peace to others? Because of what Jesus has done on Calvary, we can bring peace to others. We can help them in this journey of peace. As innkeepers ourselves, as ambassadors of reconciliation, we are called to bring peace to others. In Ephesians, it says, "For he himself is our peace." He himself is the one that makes us whole. He himself is the one that makes us complete. He himself is the one that brings restoration. He takes our broken lives and the broken pieces of our lives and brings it all together and makes peace. Who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He's taken the separation that was there and made us one, made us whole, made us complete, made us restored in him. The work of the innkeeper is not an easy work. The work of a peacemaker is not an easy work. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's not easy, but it's something that God calls us to. If we look at this, the shalom peace as the innkeeper, what does he do? What is the shalom peace and making the shalom peace as the innkeeper? Well, it's practical. Finding a bed, food, bandages. When that innkeeper was given the charge of this wounded man, he had to make sure that there was a bed for him. He had to make sure that there was bandages. He had to make sure that there was food. As we become shalom peacemakers, we help people practically. This week, through Hampers of Hope, we're going to help over 1,000 people. I think it's 1,025 that Nancy told me that we're going to be blessing and helping this week. 257, I think, hampers that we're putting together. It's costing us tens of thousands of dollars to be able to do that. But in a practical sense, we are making peace. When people come and pick up that hamper this week, when people come in their brokenness, in their trial and in their difficulty, they are going to get a blessing of peace. I can't tell you all the stories. Nancy has so many. Just go and talk to her. She'll tell you story after story after story of people that have told her, "I can celebrate Christmas well this year because of this hamper." Some stories are, "I haven't celebrated Christmas for a few years. Now that you've given me this hamper, we're able as a family to celebrate Christmas." There is a peace, a wholeness, a restoration. Something that was broken for many years is being restored, and hope is being brought. It takes time. Peace doesn't happen overnight. Being an innkeeper, that the innkeeper in this story, the man said, "I'm going on a journey. You take care of him. When I come back, I'll pay whatever is necessary." There was no time limit. There was nothing to be able to say, "I'm gone for 1 week. Just take care of him for a week." And we might be able to say, "Okay, I can do it for a week." But what if the week goes to 2 weeks? What if it goes to 1 month? What if it goes to a year? What if it goes to a couple of years? For us, we are given a mission and an assignment by Jesus to be innkeepers, to be peacemakers, to be people, to be ambassadors of Christ. And that mission is for our whole entire life. It takes time. As we know in our own personal journeys, as we've gone, for some of us that have gone from places of brokenness and hurt and hardship to a place of knowing Jesus and experiencing his love, and that didn't happen overnight. It takes time. It also requires risk. As Chuck Smith in the Jesus Revolution movie, as part of the Jesus movement, Chuck Smith had to take a risk. "I'm going to upset a lot of people in my church if I do this. I'm going to upset a lot of people that are tithers, that are givers, that are sustaining the church. I'm going to upset a lot of people, the core group of people, because they don't want this to happen. But I see that God is calling us into this. And will we be people that are willing to take a risk? Will we be people like the innkeeper? I don't know this Samaritan, and I don't know this wounded man, but I'm going to care for him." It takes a risk. And so many times, dear friends, we live in the comfort of what we know. "I don't want to do anything that's going to upset what's happening with me and my family. And instead of taking the risk, we stay in our own comfort zone, and we might even miss the movement of God. If Chuck Smith stayed in his comfort zone, if he stayed in the place where he knew, and if he didn't take that risk, the whole Jesus movement would have happened, but it would have happened without Chuck Smith. Because God is sovereign and he will do his thing if we're on board or if we're not on board. And so, friends, how are we being like the innkeeper? How are we moving to the voice of God? How are we moving to the way the Spirit asks us to do things? Are we willing to take a risk with our lives, a risk with our finances, a risk in serving, a risk in doing something that we're not comfortable in doing? But because Jesus is asking us to do that, we are willing to respond towards that. Number two, the innkeeper wasn't concerned about the state of the man or the person who brought him. He was willing to take the risk. He wasn't concerned that, you know, what would happen if somebody rang your doorbell and said, there's this wounded man here. Can you take care of him? What would you do? We would be like, whoa, this person's bleeding here. Like, let's call 911. What's going on here? Right? How would we respond to something like that? Many years ago, when I was pastoring a church in Puerto Rico, and there was a man that started coming to our church, and he was homeless, and we knew that he was homeless. We tried to help him in whatever ways that we could, but when he would come, there was a smell about him. He was disheveled, but he would come on Sundays, and he would sit in the service and hear the word of God. And one day after the service, one person came up to me and said, Daniel, you have to do something about this man. He's using our bathroom. He's using our bathroom. Can you do something about that? Indirectly, the person was saying, I don't want to be using that bathroom after him. Can you see that? That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not being an inn. That's not being an innkeeper. How are we responding to the gospel? That innkeeper, he wasn't concerned about the state of that man, and he wasn't concerned about the man that brought him. He was there in Israel, and this Samaritan man, who probably was considered an outcast in Israel, an enemy of Israel, wasn't worried about that. Well, if you were a Jewish man that brought somebody that was wounded, I'll help. No, he didn't say that. He was willing to help. And friends, this is part of what is so beautiful about the gospel, is that for you and for me, Jesus helped us. Jesus died for us while we were still enemies of him. While we were still enemies of the cross, Christ died for us. And that's the beauty of the gospel. In Romans 5, it says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? When we were far away from God, when we were enemies to God, God helped us. That innkeeper, it didn't matter that that man was bleeding. It didn't matter that the person that brought him was a Samaritan, an outcast of Israel. He was willing to help. And if Jesus helped us while we were enemies, while we were far away from God, how much more should we care for everyone that comes into our contact? How much more should we go the extra mile? How much more shall we bless others? How much more should we sacrifice for others? How much more shall we take a risk because God took a risk on you and me? And so, friends, we need to be that innkeeper. In Ephesians 2, it says, he brought this good news of what? Peace. Now, remember, I want you to think about peace not as the absence of conflict, but peace as wholeness. Restoration, completeness. He brought this good news of healing, restoration, wholeness, completeness to you Gentiles who are far away from him, and peace, wholeness, healing, restoration, completeness to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His inn. Together we are His house. Together we are His building. Together we are innkeepers with the Lord. That's what God has called us to. He has given us His peace. He has done His work of healing and wholeness, of restoration, to bring us into His house so that we can be innkeepers in the house of God, showing forth that love and grace to others and bringing peace to others because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the gospel. That's the Christmas message. That's why Jesus came into this world, to bring peace to us and to bring peace to the whole world. The Prince of Peace has come. That is the good news that the shepherds talked about, that the angels sang about in Luke chapter 2. That peace has come. Healing has come. Wholeness has come. And where can we find that? In the house of God. The local church is so important towards God's message of healing and hope. The local church is part of what God is using to bring about healing and wholeness in the world. And the last Sunday of this month, December 28th, we're going to have a healing service. Our elders and our staff and our pastoral staff will be at the front at the end of the service. And we want to invite you all to come, be anointed with oil, receive prayer for healing, for wholeness, for restoration. Invite a friend to come on that service as well and receive prayer. We have seen in the past how prayer has done amazing and wonderful things and has changed situations in people's lives. Prayer is able to change situations in your life because of what Jesus has done. Friends, what kind of church are we? Because Jesus said this. When Jesus heard this, He said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Are we a hospital for sick people? Or are we just a resort for healthy people? Are we thinking about church as, I want you to do this thing for me and that thing for me, and I want you to run this program for me, and I want you to sing this song that I like, and I want you to do this thing that I like? Or are we a hospital for sick people, where we are on mission to serve others because of what Jesus has done for us? We are not called to be consumer Christians. We are called to be innkeepers in the house of God. We are called to respond to the brokenness and the hurt in the world around us. We are called to sacrifice. We are called to take a risk. We are called to step out of our comfort zone. We are called to do as Jesus did for us. Can we do that? So let me tell you, how do we care for people here at Unionville Alliance Church? How can we be an inn here at Unionville Alliance Church? The first thing is prayer. And I'm just going to outline some practical things just for a few minutes so that you can understand and you can consider how you want to be involved as an innkeeper in the house of God. So prayer is our front line, our first thing that we do to care for people. We send out a prayer line every Wednesday. And in that prayer line, there are prayer requests, and you're welcome to submit a prayer request. You're welcome to subscribe to our prayer line so that you receive that email every week and see the prayer petitions that are there so that you can also be an innkeeper and pray for one another. After each service, there's an after-service prayer team that's here, and you can come with your burden and bring your burden to the Lord, and you can have someone to be able to pray with you. And that's a way that we are being innkeepers in the house of God. On Tuesday night, we pray for 8 families in our church during our Tuesday night prayer gathering. We've taken a little break for Christmas. We're going to start up again in January. And you would receive an email from me throughout the course of the year. I'd probably send you an email that says, "Hey, you're one of the families that we're praying for on Tuesday night. Do you have any prayer requests that we can pray for?" Some of you would have already received that prayer. We've been doing this, that email. We've been doing this for some time. We want to pray for you. That's us being innkeepers in the house of God. There's also a prayer team that we have that pray for specific prayer requests. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. There is a link online for those that are watching online that you can go and fill out a prayer request form. And on there's different options of who you would like to share that with. And one of the options is our prayer team. And when that's selected, that email goes to our prayer team, and they pray for all those prayer requests. That's us being innkeepers in the house of God. There's an opportunity to be anointed with oil. If you have a specific request, you don't have to wait till December 29th. If you want the elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil, you can do that. You can request that. And we would love to be able to do that. This is all about prayer, but there's even more that we do to care for people here at Unionville Alliance Church. The first is organic care. I love hearing stories of how people care one for another. The person sitting beside you is sick, or the person that, you know, is always there that you talk to after the service, oh, they're sick, and you go and help them. There's so much stuff that happens organically within the house of God, within the body of Christ, as we stay connected one with another. That's the first means of care, because we are part of the body of Christ, right? If the finger is hurting because the finger is cut, does the feet say, you take care of yourself? No, the whole body hurts, right? And as we're part of the body of Christ, and as we're part of this local body called Unionville Alliance Church, we care one for another organically. Our second line of defense, let's say, or our second line of care is through our small groups. Is that when people are going through hard times, even this week, somebody sent me a message of something that was happening in their family, and just to let me know, FYI, Daniel, this is going on. And I was like, oh, can I call? Can we do anything? And the response was, my small group knows. And I'm thankful for that. My small group knows. My small group is praying. Isn't that amazing? And through our small groups, and if you're not connected in a small group, I will highly encourage you to connect with the small group. In January, we'll be onboarding new people into small groups, because church, being an inn and being innkeepers in the inn, is not about Sunday morning. It is absolutely critical and vital to be part of a small group, to connect in community with people. That's a way that we care for people, is through small groups. And your small group leader is the pastor, the shepherd of that small group. And I just want to say thank you to all of our small group leaders that are out there, because of what you do to care and watch over and feed and support your small group. We are able to be innkeepers in the house of God. There's pastoral care. There's times when myself, Pastor Leonor, Pastor Allison, Pastor Justin, Pastor Keisha, we'll visit, we'll call you, we'll email you. There's so many different things. We won't know unless you tell us. So we actually can't know by osmosis that you were in the hospital, okay? So if you're in the hospital and be like, how come Daniel didn't call me, right? Well, did you tell anybody? No, but he should know, right? No, it can't happen like that. There is pastoral care through our pastoral team, but please let us know how we can pray for you and support you. And if you're going through something, please let us know. We would love to pray with you. We would love, if you need a visit, we would love to visit with you. Of course, we can't do it all the time. So our next line is our pastoral care team. We have a pastoral care team. We have people in our church that have a heart to care for others. We're actually meeting this afternoon at 3:00. Reminder, if you're on the pastoral care team, we have a meeting at 3:00. And we meet to gather and to see how can we bless others, how can we minister to others, because of the size of our church, our pastoral care team is needed to be able to reach all these different needs. If someone's not in a small group and they need some care, our pastoral care team is part of that. We have a community care committee, and this committee helps to discern as people put in requests for financial needs. If you have a financial need and you're not able to pay a bill, or you're in a difficult situation and you need some help, well, we have a whole policy towards that. We have a whole committee that reviews some of those things to help people in a financial need. And your giving, as you give generously to the work of God here at Unionville Alliance Church, your giving supports the practical needs of that. Remember I said the shalom piece, part of the shalom piece is meeting practical needs. And as you give to the work of God here at Unionville Alliance Church, it goes towards meeting that practical need. Master's Pantry and Hampers of Hope. As I mentioned, we're going to be blessing over 1,000 people this month with a hamper. Do you know that we feed about 400 people, almost 400 people a month as part of our food bank? And that is us being innkeepers in the house of God. That is us helping and meeting the needs of those that are around us. And then there's support groups and courses. Go to our course page. At the beginning of the year, there's a course called about listening to God. We're trying to run courses that will help you in your own spiritual life, not just in the practical needs, but in the spiritual needs. If you want to learn how to listen to the voice of God, we're going to be running the Alpha Marriage course later on in the new year. And if you're going through a hard time in your marriage, this might be a blessing. If you're going through a good time in your marriage, you can still take it. Laura and I have taken it 2 times already. It's a place that you could be in that can enrich your marriage and that can you can grow in that. We're going to be running a mental health course later on in the year, in next year as well, that can help people that are struggling with mental health, but are also people that are caregivers for people going through mental health. We'll make some more announcements about that next year. But there's these different courses and different things that we're running to care for you and to be able to be innkeepers towards those people that are in the house of God. Now you ask yourself the question, how can I be a part of that? How can I serve in some of those areas? How can I give in some of those areas? How can I sacrifice in some of those areas? Because God has called me to be an ambassador of reconciliation, a minister of peace, a peace giver, a peace maker. We are not called to sit on the sidelines. Friends, the mission of God is so important. The mission of God is so great that we can't have anyone sitting on the sidelines. Everyone needs to be engaged in what God is doing in the world today to make peace, to restore and bring wholeness. Can we be a part of that? Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." Friends, the house of God is to be an inn. We are to be innkeepers. We are to be a place of rest. We are to be a place of peace. Number three, the Samaritan trusted the innkeeper and knew he was faithful. The Samaritan came along there and saw the innkeeper that was there, and he knew that the innkeeper would be faithful. I can go on my trip, and I know that this innkeeper will take care of this man. Friends, can in this perspective, as we're looking through the eyes of the innkeeper, if someone comes to us with that, are we thinking, oh, this is a burden? Or are we thinking, this is a privilege that God has given to me, I need to be faithful to it? What is our response to that? The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. He gave him an instruction. He gave him a charge, and he knew that the innkeeper would be faithful. The question is, how about us as innkeepers in the house of God? Are we faithful? 1 Corinthians says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. God is looking for faithfulness. What has God put in our hand? What has God encouraged us to do? What has God charged us to do? What is God pushing us out of our comfort zone to do? And will we be found faithful? In Luke 16, it says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. God will give us a little bit of responsibility and see our faithfulness in that. And if we're faithful in that, then he'll give us a little bit more. And if we're faithful in that, then he'll give us a little bit more. And if we're faithful in that, he'll give us a little bit more. You're not going to become the CEO overnight, right? Faithfulness in what God has given to us, little by little. In John 20, it says, again, he said, peace, wholeness, restoration, healing be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am, what? Sending you. Jesus was an ambassador of peace, and the Father sent him as an ambassador of peace. The Father sent him as an ambassador of reconciliation. The Father sent him as an ambassador of healing and wholeness and restoration. And now Jesus says, I am sending you as an ambassador of peace, as an ambassador of wholeness and reconciliation and restoration. Friends, are we walking in the calling that God is giving to us? If we are innkeepers in the house of God, if we're innkeepers in that inn that we are supposed to be part of, are we sharing God's message of peace? Jesus is sending us. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us out. In Matthew chapter 25, it says, the master, this was a parable that he was telling about faithfulness. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. See, the Samaritan could trust the innkeeper and knew that he was faithful. And if you take the opposite of that as well, the innkeeper trusted the Samaritan and knew he was faithful. When the innkeeper, look at the verse, it says, if his bills run higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here, right? He didn't know when the next time was going to be. He didn't know how high the bill was going to run, But the innkeeper said, I know he'll be faithful. Right? I can trust in this Samaritan. And, you know, technically speaking, the Samaritan wasn't really a person that you could trust. Right? If you were in Israel, you had something against the Samaritans. But this innkeeper took the charge of the Samaritan. And friends, Jesus is our good Samaritan that promises to reward us. In Hebrews it says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. God will remember. Even a cup of cold water that you give. Nancy, I think we're going to be giving a lot more than cold water this week, right? But even a cup of cold water that you give, the Word of God says, there is a reward. Friends, are we innkeepers in the house of God? Galatians chapter 6 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. We can get tired, right? We can be like, how come no one says thank you? We can get tired. We can get worn out. We can be like, no one's grateful for all the work that I'm doing. Nobody sees the way that I'm serving. No one sees what I'm doing. Don't do it for other people to see, right? That's not what serving is about. We do it for Jesus. We do it for the Lord. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. I'll close with this verse in Revelation. The promise of Jesus' coming is the same promise of the Samaritan to the innkeeper. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. The promise that Jesus gives to us, I am coming soon, I will repay everyone according to their deeds, is the same promise the Samaritan gave to the innkeeper. I'm going away. Whatever bills come because of this man's needs, I will repay them when I come again. There is a reward that is waiting for us in eternity. There is a reward that is waiting for us in heaven. We don't serve because we want to try to buy a place in heaven. No, we serve out of love for Jesus, and there is a reward that's coming as well on that day. Worship team, please come. Can I encourage you right now? You might be in two different camps here. You might be thinking that I need to be in the inn. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I need a place of care. I need a place of hope. Can I invite you, as we sing this song, Come to the Altar, can I invite you to the Father's open arms? Can I invite you to that place of healing, that place of wholeness, that place of peace, that place of restoration, that place where Jesus commands peace into our body and our soul and our spirit? And maybe you might be in a place where you're looking at this and you're saying, man, I need to be that innkeeper. I haven't been living up to that innkeeper. I've just been staying in a room, taking up space, and not doing anything. I need to be that innkeeper. I need to respond to the need. Can I invite you to the Father's open arms today as well? Can I invite you to experience the love of God? As you experience the love of God, it will change you. As you experience the peace of God, the wholeness and healing and completeness that he gives, it will change you.